There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Recording,
everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where together we'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And today we have a very special, special guest.
Mm-hmm.
Justine's sisterin from Quinnipiac. Went to the same college together.
Oh my God, yes.
Fellow alum.
My Bobcat sister, my Slobcat sister.
Yes. Miss Jazzy Collins. She is the first Black Emmy Award winner for Outstanding Reality Casting for her work on season one of The Traitors. She's a casting director whose work has spanned over the past decade, contributing to hit reality shows, including The Bachelor and Bachelorette, where she worked for 5 seasons. So, you know, we had tons of questions.
The 5 seasons we recapped, I believe.
Yes. She started with Ari. She started with Rachel. Season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we jumped on with Ari. So tons of questions for her about the Bachelor franchise. She did The Circle. She did Love Island USA. She also did Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls, which she was also nominated for an Emmy. Mm-hmm. Jazzy has been on the forefront of the movement calling for diversity and inclusion in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. She very famously published an open letter back in June 2020, which we all read because it was published every goddamn where.
Yeah.
Where she was calling out racism at ABC's offices and within the Bachelor franchise, particularly their casting process, and was demanding change. I remember reading the open letter. I remember being so astonished. I was like, oh my God, a casting director is like coming forward and speaking.
Yeah.
She's that lady. So we're excited. But yeah, we picked her brain about, I mean, probably one of the most important and impactful aspects of reality TV production, which is casting. And to speak with a Black woman on this topic was so incredibly special. We talk with her about casting on season one of The Traitors. We ask about the lack thereof of social media background checks, it seems, in this world of reality casting. Will Justine ever get to see a woman in a hijab on The Bachelorette? Or on The Bachelor? We also ask her that. Among many other things, was a great interview. We really just picked her brain about all of our questions that we've always wanted to ask a casting director. So excited for you guys to hear that interview. But of course, before we dive in with Jazzy, we do have some pop culture mess, some shows.
So much happened.
So much going on.
Oh my God.
Kate Middleton has finally come forward.
She has, yeah.
She has. And so we definitely have to talk about that. Real Housewives of Potomac and Summer House Martha's Vineyard, both on Sunday.
Yep.
We will also talk about that. There's also a lot going on in Potomac world.
Speaking of casting. Okay.
Yeah, speaking of casting, a lot of casting shaken up. Karen was in legal news this weekend. We got a preview for the Potomac reunion as well, so that's interesting. But yeah, we'll talk about I guess Sunday, that was the Potomac finale. Potomac finale and Summer House Martha's Vineyard premiere. And then AD was on Cammy Crawford's podcast. And Clay was on Angela Yee's podcast.
Yeah. Black women.
Yeah, shout
who
out.
Who aren't us, but shout out to them.
Shout out to them, though. You yes. know, love to see it. I want to yep. see any one of us win.
Same.
Would appreciate. So mm-hmm, we will definitely mm-hmm. talk about highlights from those interviews. If you want to listen to this episode ad-free with our juicy pre-show hot takes on Kate Middleton, Potomac, AD, and Clay, you got to join the Rose Garden over at Patreon. Head to patreon.com/2blackgirls1rose. You can also watch us on video. You can join us for our current rewatch of Broad City. 4, 3, 2, 1 We're reacting to every week, our weekly reaction episode. And yeah, you can try out a Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial. And always, shout out to the Rose Garden.
Love you guys.
We love you guys. We love you. We love mm-hmm. you. We are so excited to welcome to the show the first Black Emmy Award winner for Outstanding Reality Casting for her work on The Traitors, a woman whose career spans over a decade working on so many of our favorite reality shows from The Circle to Love Island to The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. She has been at the forefront of the movement calling for diversity and inclusion in the entertainment industry, and we are so excited to welcome her into our space to have a conversation about all things reality TV casting. Please welcome to the show, Jazzy Collins.
Yay! Yay! Thank you guys for having me. I'm very excited.
Oh my gosh, so excited.
Yes, very.
Oh my gosh. And if you guys don't know, me and Jazzy went to the same school, so we're mm-hmm. very happy. Quinnipiac was going nuts that day that you won that Emmy. Oh my God.
Gotta be proud.
Oh my
they
God.
Are very. I am a Bobcat through and through. You know, I absolutely love Quinnipiac. Yeah. I had a blast too.
Years. It was yeah. a great time. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I met my husband there, so therefore they will forever. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cute.
So they'll forever be in my heart.
Yeah.
Wow. What was your husband's major?
Also film.
Oh, okay. That, yeah. Okay. Oh you guys God. Were stuck together.
I
yeah.
know. That's
yeah.
That sounds like a cute story somewhere.
It
in
does.
There. Yes. I love that.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
Oh,
well,
you.
We have some warm-up questions for you.
Okay.
What do you watch for fun that is not work? Because all of the things that you cast are all of our guilty pleasures that we watch for fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, right now I'm watching The Gentleman on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. My brother
yeah, that Guy Ritchie show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Okay. I give it, like, the pinnacle dad TV because it's, like, uh-huh. very much, like, fighting. You know, action. There's a lot of cursing, the action, the drinking, okay. there's some sex, there's drama, you know what I yeah. mean? That's mm-hmm. pinnacle dad TV, but yeah. I enjoy it. But I also love Real Housewives. I'm a big fan okay. of a lot of the franchises, and I've never worked on them, so okay. I can feel like okay. I can still enjoy
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
I really loved Beverly Hills this season. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a huge fan of Potomac, but it's mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah, same.
Salt Lake City obviously was iconic oh this season.
Yeah. Yep.
So we had some great television this mm-hmm. year.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nice.
The Gentleman. That's a good one.
I know. My brother was just telling me about that one. I gotta watch it.
Is that set in 1692?
No,
Peaky Blinders. No, it's present.
It's British, though.
Everyone's British, so.
Oh, that's why. Okay, got it.
You gotta turn your brain on, especially if you know you're used to American accents.
Yeah.
Everyone's very British.
Okay.
So just something to note.
Got it. Okay. Okay. What is your favorite dating show or reality show of all time?
Oh gosh. Favorite. Okay, because. I have a love-hate relationship with dating shows just because mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time mm-hmm. doing them. Mm-hmm. So I don't watch a lot of dating shows anymore.
Yeah.
But I hate to give this to myself, but my favorite reality show that I've watched has been The Traitors.
Mm, right? It's great.
Excellent. Yeah. It is truly excellent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can give it to yourself. That's fine.
Yeah. I'm not tooting my own horn here,
no,
but like
just
honestly, the idea of like psychological and like talking about, you know, alliances and there's manipulation mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. like all of this stuff is just so juicy and yeah. fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely love it. I'm such a fan.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Great show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What celebrity are you low-key always checking in on? Like, you might not follow them, but you're just, like, lurking. looking at them.
Ooh.
See what they're doing.
Oh gosh, let me think. I have to like feel like I need to scroll through my Instagram.
This
now
is
to,
so
like, see.
Everyone is always stumped by this question. I have so many answers for this question. It makes me very shameful that I have
I'm
so many
like,
answers.
Wait
for this.
A minute. I'm like, who? I mean, I was so enthralled in the Kate Middleton drama, which now seems to have come to an end.
Yeah.
So I was like very much on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But like I'm literally scrolling through my Instagram. And I was like, what celebrities am I following? Because I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah, do you follow any?
I don't follow that many, I guess, celebrities. Because I think my brain is, especially now that I've been doing a lot of like, now I'm moving over into some celebrity casting. I feel like it's almost kind of weird to follow people that I might work with in the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got to keep like a degree of separation.
But yeah, I feel like I did follow Zoe Kravitz for a while because I'm like obsessed with how she looks.
Yeah.
And I did used to follow Richard Madden because I think he's very hot.
Who's that?
Richard Madden. Who's
Richard
that?
Madden.
You'll need to Google him.
Yeah.
And you'll understand why.
This guy.
He's an actor. Oh, yeah. He was in The Bodyguard.
Yes.
Oh, him. Oh, yeah. He's very handsome. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Those
are the two people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those are like the two that I can remember off the top of my head.
Okay. Okay. Nice. And last warm-up question. You've casted for a ton of different reality TV shows, The Circle, Lizzo's, Watch Out for the Big Girls, Traitors, Love Island, America's Got Talent, so many things. What's your favorite genre of reality TV to cast for?
Definitely competition and game shows are my favorite. Mm. It's my bread and butter. It's everything that I love. And I love giving away money that's not mine.
That's nice.
It feels good.
It feels good. I really enjoy like having a good time talking to so many different types of people because, you know, like dating shows and shows that are like Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls, like those are very much specialty casting. Like those are the types of specific people for that show. But for competition shows, you can kind of cast a wide net. You can have so many different types of people on these shows, age, religion, sex, gender, you know, race. I absolutely love being able to tap into all of that and give everyone the opportunity to win money that is not mine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, I love that. The inclusivity of it. I love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So as we said earlier, you went to school for film and television and you went to an art school, correct? We had an art school. I did not even really know.
I guess it was like technically the School of Communications at Quinnipiac. And that was, they had a film, TV, and interactive media major is what it was back
when. Oh, interactive media. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But now they've changed it. I've been in contact with Quinnipiac quite a bit.
Same.
I am now a part of the board, which is nice.
You are?
Nice. Yes, yes. They just added me, which was very, very nice of them.
Cool.
So I got to hear about everything that they're doing at this school. And boy, oh boy, is it like a 360 since we left. And it's, what they're doing with the students is so incredible. So I'm like, go on.
Yeah, they're doing good stuff over there.
Nice.
What made you want to get into casting for reality television?
I fell into casting. I thought I was always going to be a producer on set. Mm. And then I went on set and I realized I absolutely hated it.
Why?
I just was not there for standing for 12 hours. I was this is just not for me.
You need so long.
Yeah, or more. 14 hours, 15 hours, depending on it is. And I was just like, you know what? I need to be in an office. I need to be able to sit and have a good time, relax. Mm-hmm. And I interviewed for an office production assistant job and I realized, oh yeah, that is something that I could do. You know, I'll learn about production on that side. This is great. Mm-hmm. I went in for the interview and they were like, hey, we just filled the position literally right before you got here. but do you have any interest in casting? And I was like, sure, I need a job. I just moved to LA. I'm broke. Mm-hmm. Let's go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And casting assistant job on Let's Ask America was my first job ever in reality. It was a syndicated show. Mm. It was a show where everyone was interviewing and doing the game show through Skype, which was really funny because now that's kind of our life now. Yeah, it's weird. It was ahead of its time. No one knew.
Yeah.
And then I got the bug. I realized I was really good at it, finding people and like realizing who's a good personality for reality TV. Mm-hmm. And I literally kind of just snowballed into a whole bunch of different shows that I got to chance to work on, like America's Got Talent. I worked with Buna Murray Productions for a very long time and mm-hmm. worked on a whole slew of shows through them. You know, Love Island, Bachelor, Bachelorette, The Wall. Like, it just kept snowballing into all these different shows. And I realized I absolutely loved it. And I couldn't see myself anywhere else.
Nice. Good for you. Okay. So yeah. As a casting director, you're the first point of contact in the casting process, right? And so we know it varies show by show, but can you walk us through a typical casting process? Like, after they meet you, where do they go? Who makes final decisions? How are those decisions made?
Yes, the casting team for reality TV is a lot bigger than you think it is. There's casting associates, there's casting producers, there's casting directors, there's casting managers, there's casting editors. So there's a huge group of people that are working on these shows, because we're really developing these people, developing their stories, putting them all together, and then presenting them to network. So their first initial call that you would have is usually with an associate. If you fill out an application on one of our websites, that's who you'll get a phone call from, and they'll get a sense of your personality, your story, if you would be a good fit for the show. And then from there, they get moved on to a producer. The producer is who you see on Zoom. You'll have an interview with them. You'll, you know, show a little bit more about your personality, how you are on camera. And then from there, you move over to the casting editors. The casting editors will then edit your tape down and then submit that over. And then the casting director, like myself, will then pitch this to network and say, hey, we think these people would be a good fit for the show. Mm-hmm. And then network will then make the decision if they are moving forward. The casting managers are the ones that are doing all of the paperwork behind the scenes. So, you know, when you hear people doing background checks and all that stuff for shows, mm-hmm. the casting managers are handling it. So it's really a team effort for all of these shows to actually get on air.
Yeah. A lot of layers. Okay. Associates, managers, directors, producers, editors. Wow. Yeah. So you were talking about background checks just now with the casting managers. When are social media background checks done? What does that look like? I feel like there's been so many scandals of lately of people finding things on social. And so how does that social media background check process work?
Yeah, I mean, usually there's companies that, you know, different casting directors will hire and they will do that for them. Oh, okay. Every show is different. So, you know, there's some there's companies that will run these checks. So it's like, you know, depending on, you know, whatever show that you're working on and depending on whatever company that does it, that's what, you know, they'll get a full layer of like what these people post on social media and what type of, and they'll flag things. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of how the social media checks work.
That's crazy. I would have never thought it was a company.
An outside.
There were individual outside companies made to do this, because there are so many slews on Reddit, Facebook, all kinds of people. Like that, are we dating the same guy? Facebook group? Like, please, they could make a company and they could just be legit.
They could be doing it if they really want to.
That's so fascinating. Okay, interesting. Capitalism. All right. So more and more we hear about people getting recruited out in the wild. We hear about people getting stopped at Starbucks and Chipotle, a director sliding in their DMs. When you're out and you spot people in the wild and you see them, what are you looking for when you see somebody, particularly for a reality dating show? We'll say reality dating for now.
Yeah, because that's a good example, because I really don't, I turn my brain off when I leave now, I'm not working. But when I was casting for The Bachelor and Bachelorette, my brain was always on, especially when we're looking for men. And, you know, I am looking for like how people carry themselves, you know, obviously looks to see if they would be maybe a good fit for the show, depending on what they're looking like, looking for. You know, obviously height is great too, especially for dating shows, because a lot of women like taller men. And sometimes I'll wait and like listen and see if they have a conversation with someone, just so I can hear what they sound like, see their mannerisms, and see if maybe they would be someone that have a big enough personality for a dating show.
That's such an interesting way to put it. Like a big enough personality.
It's like body language kind of like ciphering through. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, think of it as like almost a first date that they don't know that they're on.
Yeah. Oh my just God. Lurking around on their shoulder behind them in Starbucks. They have no idea.
Oh, wow. And then when you go up to them, you see them at line at Kava. And you do you go up to them and say, hey, I'm a casting director for The Bachelorette and I think you'd be good for it? That's it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And back then I used to have a business card that mm-hmm. I would run around with, so people knew I was legit. Right. But but now I'm like, here's my Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram.
I'm a real person.
Right.
And like, what's your Instagram? And I usually connect that way because I know some people don't want to give out their phone numbers. And that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. I'm also kind of weird about giving my phone number out too. Mm-hmm. So Instagram has been the way to go these days.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes sense. I think for us too. We haven't updated our business cards in years because it's just Instagram.
Yeah.
I know. I feel like it's old school now to have a business card. Although, people now have really cool business cards. They'll have like
people
QR
do.
Codes.
Yeah.
QR. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've seen that before. Yeah. But so everybody on reality TV and definitely on dating shows, as you said, we want men who are tall. Women and men are usually thin, conventionally attractive. Why don't we see more people of diverse bodies, of diverse even like haircuts? We don't even see women with short hair on television and on reality TV. Why do you think that is?
I mean, gosh, reality TV has been on for what, over 20 years now? It's still kind of technically a newer form of television. Mm. And when we first started, we had a very specific conventional sense of beauty, what they think beauty is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the producers and executive producers before us created this mold. And from there, we kind of had to follow that mold.
Mm-hmm.
I would say until 2020, when Black Lives Matter really kind of ramped up and put a microscope on how casting is done, is when mm-hmm. we started to see a little bit more diversity within that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was someone that was always pushing for diversity even from the beginning, because I myself am a consumer and I want to see people that look like me on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have the ability to do that working in casting, let me do that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm always hit with a roadblock, whether it's the EPs or, you know, my bosses at the time. That's where I always struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm starting to see a lot more production companies, a lot more, you know, networks saying, yes, I understand we need to have this diversity on television. And I do think there is a shift, but we mm-hmm. still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. That's interesting that you said you want to see people who look like you. I still think that the Black people who are on reality TV now are conventionally and very still. Much still of the beauty standard, right? Mm-hmm. Of a very average beauty standard, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're still not seeing, we still don't see natural hair. I don't know when that's coming.
Yeah.
I have no idea. It's going to take a long time.
You look exhausted, Chad.
You look so tired.
I know you've been pushing on that for years. You are so tired of that. I know.
I'm so tired. I was like, I mean, obviously I have stories for days about this, but like, it's so frustrating to not see a woman with locks or seeing someone with a shaved head. I mean, there's a diaspora within the Black community. Mm-hmm. There are so many different types of Black women, Black men, and we just don't see them on TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm doing my best. I am pitching these types of people.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, they just don't fit their standard of what they think is what other people want to see.
Right.
But, you know, it all starts from the inside, and, you know, casting will continue to always push for this. But at the end of the day, we do not have the final decision. And I think that's something that people need to understand as a community, is that like, we can only do so much.
Yeah. Cause casting always gets the blame. So it's like, they need to do better at casting. It's always the blame of casting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's, you're just in the lineup.
We're working our way.
Yeah.
You're trying.
Working your way to the final decision makers. Sheesh.
Yeah.
So social media has changed a lot, I would say, definitely in reality TV in particular. Social media fame is a huge motivator for people going on reality TV now. Do you sniff that out during casting? Like, do you try to sniff that out in people that are coming through on your desk or applications? And what are some of those indicators that you're able to, like, notice?
You know, I know a lot of people are doing TV because they do want that fame. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, that's fine. You know, mm-hmm. we all want our mm-hmm. come up. And I don't really shy away from it as much as a lot of people do. I'm okay. not afraid of putting a content creator on TV because that's people's jobs these days.
Yeah,
I'm not afraid of someone that does podcasting or any sort of thing that has to do with social media to put them on TV because, like I said, this is what people's jobs are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is some people that are, you can know when they turn it on and when they turn it off. And that's okay. a different thing than trying to get fame because you want someone on TV that is going to be genuine and is going to represent who they are actually on TV. And yes, and I want to make sure that's being put on TV, not they're doing it for fame.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. I've always been of the belief that, as you said, like if you, a lot of people go on reality TV with ulterior motives, I would say particularly on like dating shows, your chance of winning this one guy in a cast of 30 other women is so low that you almost have to have an ulterior motive because like, why else are you giving up your job and life to go do this? Do you, are you under the same belief? Like, is it foolish to think that people truly go on The Bachelor or truly go on Love Island solely to find love?
I think some people are actually really looking for love. I think now with The Bachelor and like, a Love is Blind, that mm-hmm. is starting to get blurred,
yeah.
I think, now. But like, if you go back to like season one for like Love is Blind, like those people were truly there to find love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's also because that show didn't exist.
Right.
And now when you see that there's, I don't know, what season we're up to now, six. At this point, it's like now I think a lot of these people are like, okay, well, if it doesn't work out for me, like I'll end up being a content creator afterwards, which is a little frustrating because at the end of the day, it is a social experiment and you want these people to actually go into it and be willing to participate and really give it their all. But, you know, it's a hard to weed out those people sometimes because they can say a whole bunch of things. And once they're on TV, they're completely different. Yeah.
And
once they get on TV, oh, sorry, Natasha, I just had to ask this question. Mm-hmm. Once they get on TV, do you touch those people at all? Are you in contact with these people?
No, casting usually is gone. There have been times where I have been on set. So, for example, like The Circle and The Traitors, I was on set for those shows.
You were on set for The Traitors?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Season one. Yeah, season one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it was a good, it was a really great time. I was actually six months pregnant while I was on set.
Whoa. That's some very memorable pregnancy. Oh my gosh.
Oh yes, it was. I was like, homegirl was in Scotland and didn't even know it. But yeah, I mean, very rarely is the casting team in touch with any of the cast after casting is done. But for the most part, yeah, it's like, it's all in the hands of the producers on set and we have no idea how it ends up.
Mm. What was your role for Traitors being on set?
I was a producer on set. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I was a producer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense.
Were you assigned to people?
Yeah, you casted them, so
yeah.
I wasn't assigned to anyone. I was like the overall producer while I was on set. So, you know, that show is not heavily produced at all. So it's, you know, I'm there.
What?
Wow.
I'm there.
It's
So,
yeah. You just kind of put him in the house and let it rip. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
What? That's crazy. I'm blown away. Because that show is so campy. I would think there would be a lot of producer intervention in Traitors.
It's campy and like very like cinematic as well.
Yeah, right.
They
yeah.
just do a phenomenal job. These, you know, I've worked with this team, you know, previously on other shows. And they're just phenomenal at what they do and how they produce their work. And it's phenomenal. I had a good time. I really did.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like everybody has a good time on Traitors. Except MJ.
Yeah.
But that's, we'll get to it.
Oh, MJ.
Poor MJ.
I know, poor MJ.
MJ.
Damn. So congratulations on your Emmy for Yay. The Traitors. The show Thank was you. Such a success because of the cast. Mm-hmm. Every Thank single you. Person in that cast was so necessary. Mm. Even like Sheree and Kevin. So necessary to have them.
Yes.
You had so many reality TV legends to choose from. We were even casting our own Traitors yesterday, me, Natasha, and some of our members of our $15 patrons. Mm-hmm. How do you, and that takes like a very specific skill, which can I just say, right? As a fellow communications major, you can always spot us, right? At Quinnipiac, you could always see us. We were always in the front of the line at the club, cutting the line. We were always like at the head of the dinner table. We were always like there's like a personality type that goes along with a school communications major, right? How yeah. does the casting for the something like the Traitors, where you have so many people to choose from, how does that work?
Yeah. So I do want to clarify, I cast season one. So mm-hmm. for season one, when we decided like, okay, here's what it is, a first season show, we don't know exactly where to start. You know, we were like, okay, what type of people would be a good fit in a castle where they might have to manipulate, where they have to lie and have to like align themselves with people. So we thought mm-hmm. of like job types of like, you know, would a hairstylist be good? Oh yeah, because they like keep secrets. They can get all the tea from people, you know. What about so someone, in, a politician or a political analyst? Oh yeah, they can talk like, you know, nobody's business. That's someone mm-hmm. that would be good. So we were kind of just going through different jobs and then, you know, finding the best ones within that job. It was how we first cast that okay. one. Okay. And then from there, you know, we ended up getting hit with, now we have half of a cast of being celebrities. Mm-hmm. And our team was specifically working with the civilians. So, mm-hmm. you know, the combination of the both is like, it's a beautiful mesh of like, we want to make sure that there's people that can stand up to these types mm-hmm. of characters, these reality stars. We also want these people to also maybe be very gullible, or you want these people to, you know, that's what makes a good TV. It's like literally chemistry at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It does seem very much like a science or an art to it, like really mm-hmm. curating yeah. a specific group of people to, you don't know what the story is that they're going to tell, but you can, as you said, suss out personality types and almost like guesstimate how they might react. It's really interesting.
Yeah. And like, mm-hmm. we do ask, you know, strategy points of like, how would you play this game? And, you know, and kind of get a sense. But at the end of the day, once you're on set, everyone does it's completely different than what they said on the casting tape, because, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, well, no, I can't do this because, you know, Rachel Riley's here, you know? So like all of that kind of goes out the window. But at the end of the day, you want to make sure those personality types still withstand whether or not their actual strategy changes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah. Was there anybody on the celebrity side that you wanted to get but couldn't for Traitors season one?
And is there another team, another casting team that did the celebrities? Because you said you were.
Yeah, there was a talent booker. Yeah, there's a talent booker that actually did the celebrity side. So we were just only the civilian side.
Only the civilians. Well, were there any civilians that you couldn't get for whatever reason and you really wanted them to be on the show?
Oh, I mean, there were so many folks that I'm like, I really, really, really love. Yeah. There's just, you know, at the end of the day, when there's only a finite number that you have for cast, yeah. That we had just had some amazing personalities that just didn't make it through. I try to get them on other TV shows instead.
Oh, so
it's not like, it's not like it's fully goes to waste, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. Do cool. you know, I know you weren't on this side, but do you know if it was casting or production that had anything to do with who was a traitor?
Oh, that's all production.
That's production.
I have no idea who does. Okay. That was not me.
Got it. Do you know anything about season three? Is there anything you can tell us about season three? Is it civilians?
You're
and celebrities?
Lying.
Is it
Jazzy,
just celebrities?
You are lying.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, right. You know everything. You're on your way to Scotland tomorrow.
I know.
I don't know anything. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any people, like dream people in your head that you would want to see on season three?
I definitely want to see more people from LGBTQ plus community. I would love to see someone with a disability on there, whether you know, whether or not they are a celebrity or not. I think even if you do a full celebrity cast, I think it's very important to still stay inclusive. So I would love that. But I would love to see the Grand Dame. Honestly.
Oh my God, Karen would be Karen. So good.
Karen. She would be. I would die to see Karen on the Traitors.
Yeah.
She seems almost made for Traitors. Like, she seems.
Either that or voted out night one.
Oh, no.
It's like either or with her. I can't actually tell.
But also, she could be really bad at the game, too.
She could be. Like,
she would be,
God, Karen.
Karen. I love Karen. But I would live to see Karen.
That's
a good one. That's a really good one. Okay, so we want to talk a little bit about The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. So you were a casting director on 5 seasons. You did Rachel Lindsay season, Ari, Becca, Colton, and Hannah B season. Question we had is, what conversation is had with the lead about their type before you cast for the show? Is there a conversation? Who's in that conversation? Do you even pay attention to what they say? Or do you just cast whoever you want?
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
I mean, luckily, I'm no longer under NDA, so.
Yeah, let her rip.
Yeah.
Let her rip. But basically, that show starts casting before we even find out who the Bachelor or Bachelorette is.
Okay.
That's right.
So we're already starting. We have no idea who is going to be. But there is a conversation that is had with the lead saying, like, you know, I usually gravitate towards this type. And we do throw some of those folks in. But at the end of the day, it is a reality show, and we want to make sure that it is entertaining. So you want to make sure that you have a combination of everything. But also, people say one thing, and then they end up going with the complete opposite with who they would actually end up marrying at the end of it. So you can't even go by saying, like, oh, yeah, I only date, you know, tall, dark, and handsome, and then you end up with the complete opposite, so.
Yeah. We just interviewed Marshall from Love is Blind, and he said that their producers didn't even think that they would get together because they were so opposite. And, you know, well, they should or shouldn't have. That's still a but anyway.
I know.
Ari.
I'll just say one thing, though. It is interesting that you said that our suspicion was that you guys did cast before the lead. And I think the biggest season where we saw that was, in our opinion, Ari's season. For us, it seemed very obvious that most of those women thought Peter Cross was going to be cast. And they got stuck with Ari. I think we got confirmation of that from Becca Martinez when we recorded with her at one point. So it's very validating to hear you say that, that the timeline is such.
But I do want to say I absolutely love Ari as a person. Being able to work with him on his season and then getting to work with him again on The Traitors was a very beautiful moment for me. And he is honestly like a dreamboat to work with. So if there's some way of that I will work with Ari again, I absolutely would.
Why? Wow. We've always said we loved his cast of women.
Yeah, his cast.
Like, his season was really good because we thought the cast of girls were awesome. Even though in our heads, we thought they were for Peter Cross. But whatever, they were still great. They were great.
In our heads.
Thank you.
Yes, it was very good. And, you know, just to expound more on Ari's season, Ari was 35 years old when he was The Bachelor. And that was our first season podcasting. Jazzy, when I tell you, we rang him out like a rag. We were like, what is this old geezer doing on here looking for love on television? And, and he had like salt and pepper hair too. We were like, oh my God, he's so old. So
and now we're both 34.
Now we're 34. Like, but Becca Martinez, our podcast friend, was cast on his season at the age of 22, and her age was like hidden. Her age was a whole storyline, and it was wild to us then. It was still wild to us now. It's still wild to see her with these three kids up on Instagram, and she's not even 30 yet, and she's proved us all wrong, right? She's a mother of three. And some people are just ready, but a lot of women aren't. And there were still a lot of women on that cast who were very young and had a huge age gap with Ari. For the position of a reality show that ends in marriage or ends in engagement, what is the kind of status on age with casting?
I mean, for The Bachelor, we always kind of had an age range that was kind of like the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. And it was usually early to mid 20s. Some people would end up in the late 20s. As someone that got married at 25, there are people that are actually ready by that point. Mm-hmm. They just haven't found the right person. So it is tough to say, like, you know, oh, this 22-year-old isn't ready, because there's people that come out of BYU and they're married and they're 21. You know, mm-hmm. there's people mm-hmm. that, you know, wait until their late 30s to get married. I think age is such a bad reason to not cast someone for a show, that if they say that they're ready, they're ready. And we can't tell them that, no, you're not ready because you're only 21, you know?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is the age, so we've always thought of The Bachelor, we've always been kind of like mind boggled every season when we see like a 23-year-old, we're like, our heads can't wrap around it. I got married at 32, at 23, I was like running around, traveling, like I just can't even, I can't relate, but I get it. But we've always thought of it as being very regional. Like a lot of these girls are from mm-hmm. the South or from the Midwest, or, you know, we're Northeast Jersey girls. Like, I don't know too many people in my circle that got married in their early 20s. Is production or casting, whatever, are you guys conscious of the audience of The Bachelor being very Christian, middle America, those type of values? Yeah.
Yeah. That's the consumer at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So you do have to cast for that. You know, that's, you know, while it's unfortunate sometimes, it's that's the, at the end of the day, it's money making, you know, mm-hmm. It's a business, and we have to make sure that we go for the consumers that are going to be doing it. Now, maybe the consumers will change over the years, where it will lean a little bit more liberal and more open to things that the main consumers are, and then we can kind of push the envelope. But something that's been on a network forever, and they kind of have a formula that they're sticking with, we can't really do much with it. But when you have these new dating shows that come out, more than likely, you know, there's no audience really built in. You're kind of going with the flow. And with that, you have the ability to kind of pivot and do stuff that's a little bit more unexpected for a reality show, or more inclusive for a reality show when it comes to dating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have plenty more questions, but I can imagine working under that type of like rigidity and that formula, that 20-year long formula, when you want to mm-hmm. diverge and you can't because this is the formula, like how frustrating that could definitely be. Yeah.
Yes, very frustrating.
Yes. So Hannah B was someone who I definitely started and I was like, I'm so tired of her. I don't want this girl. I can't. And then by the end, I was like, oh, this is like probably one of my favorite bachelorettes. This is one of my favorite bachelorette seasons. She was like the quintessential like white Southern pageant belle. The idea of her bringing home Mike Johnson to her parents, as much as we were rooting for him, it was almost like comical and seemed very unrealistic. Can you talk about casting people, primarily people of color, who you can just assume or maybe have a gut feeling that they're not going to make it far with the lead?
You know, it's tough because, like I said, we don't know sometimes who the lead is. And there's been times where I didn't know who the lead was until like deep into casting. So I can never like be like, oh, no, they're definitely not going to make it. So that's a tough question to answer. But, you know, we always just kind of are like, we're casting a wide net. We'll see that it, hopefully it works. And you never know. And sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, it seems almost a benefit actually to your job to not know who the lead is. So you're not biased at all. You're kind of just trying to cast the best people and you can only just like hope that they make it far versus.
Right? I mean, that's a good way to think about it. Yeah, but it is kind of nice to not have like a rigid, like we have to cast for this X, Y, Z person, which is nice. But I feel like a lot of reality shows don't even do that anyway, because it's usually like an ensemble cast for like a dating show, like Love is Blind or like Love Island.
That's all ensemble cast
right, rather than casting for one individual and hoping that they fall in love with that person.
Okay. Interesting. So I want to talk about Rachel Lindsay's season and Lee, the racist. I want to clear something up once and for all because I've like lost sleep over this. I very vividly remember Lee saying, I believe it was on Mentel All, that he was recruited via Facebook. It is also on Facebook where Lee had documented evidence of his racist posts and beliefs and all of that. He was cast anyway. And Rachel Lindsay even said in her interview, I really think Lee was cast to add controversy, and they knew that I would not pick him. How did Lee make it on Rachel Lindsay's season? Was he, in fact, recruited on Facebook?
For the record, I was not privy to Lee's involvement in the show. I was not there for his interviews, because we always used to bring people in for interviews, especially, like, ideally, we sometimes have people, like, kind of fly themselves out. We meet them in LA and then we have interviews with them in person. Or we'll find them on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, or whatever it is, and then do like a Zoom with them. Well, back then it was Skype, a Skype with them, and then see if they would be a good fit and then meet with them in person later. Lee was not someone that I was ever privy to. I had no idea he was being cast. And if I knew he was being cast, I would have absolutely probably raised so huge suspicion. But I also want to also talk about that this was my first season ever working on the show. I didn't start ruffling feathers and asking a lot more questions until my second or third season there. So because, you know, at the end of the day, we all want to make a good impression. We want to be like, I am here for the bigger cause. And of course, I was very excited to cast Rachel's season and be a part of it. But when I came in, I was a producer on the show and, you know, I was doing my interviews. Someone that I, you know, was championing and someone that I, you know, did my interviews for was Eric Bigger, who I absolutely love that man. I feel like for The Bachelor, that like really challenged everything that they normally go for when it comes to a man on that show. And I'm still to this day very proud of that find and being able to bring him in. And I remember him coming in for the interview. He had this like huge oversized like blazer on that, like, because he's like a thin guy and it was like so ill-fitting, but there was just something about him that I was like, he is just like that, he's like that person that we felt at home with, especially coming from the East Coast. I was like, this is someone that I went to high school with, you know, and like someone I would just hang out with and chill. And I'm very happy as how far he made it on the show, because he's just such a good person. But as going back to the league, I had no idea. So it was a long roundabout to get back. But going back to Lee, he was not someone that I was privy to. I had no idea that this was happening.
Okay. Mm. And so I imagine casting directors, you have your own like pile, your own groups of people. And so you don't know everybody, but he somehow slipped in with somebody else.
We had teams, we had recruiters, we kind of all worked on like our own areas, you know, so maybe I did a lot of Florida. I did a lot of East Coast.
Okay.
So that was kind of like the territories that I was working in. And then, you know, I would interview those people and see if they would be a good fit for the show. But at the end of the day, like when they're all called in, you know, for finals and all of this type of stuff to like actually put the cast together, that's when we get to kind of see the big picture of all of the people. And once again, I still wasn't around when Lee was doing it. And I was the only black person on that team at the time. And, you know, my red flags would have been glaring, all the way waving off. All of the stuff if I saw him. But I never saw him, which is wild.
That is wild. That feels coincidental. That feels
definitely.
Very interesting.
I know people might have eyebrow raises because they're like, really, you had no idea? But I really had no idea. The things that happened behind the scenes at The Bachelor in that casting office, you know, there was some great, but there was a lot of ugly. And it was stuff that I had to deal with personally, you know, dealing with racism and microaggressions and all of this stuff day to day to day, that like at the end of the fifth season that I was on, I was like, I can't do this physically anymore. Like it's draining to me. It's also seeing them say like, oh, this person's too big for this show. And you're like, this person weighs like 10 pounds more than I do, or like this person weighs less than I do. And you're saying they're too big for the show. And hearing these beauty standards that are constantly being thrown in your face and saying that this woman, you know, doesn't have the right hairstyle, it gets into you, it gets under your skin. And that's one of the reasons, big reasons of why I left.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the reason. I mean, you're doing casting for reality TV. We're all watching reality TV, but that's a big reason why a lot of people leave their jobs. And we want to talk about the letter, the open letter that you posted in June of 2020, right before Matt James was announced as The Bachelor. And as you stated, you dealt with a lot of racism when you were working over there. And then they had Matt James as The Bachelor, and it was probably the worst season they've ever had. It was an absolute nightmare. And it, like everything that could go wrong did go wrong. We have seen some progress, particularly with Claire and Tayja's season. They left in a conversation with Tayja and Ivan. That was barely even a conversation. It was a lot of Tayja trying to breathe through something and crying, and a lot of Ivan kind of comforting her in that moment because she was confronting a lot of things herself. But it was really a beautiful moment that they left in. And that was, as we saw, as progress. But then recently on a reality TV panel or an industry panel, the producers of The Bachelor were sitting there and were stumped at a question about racism in the casting. So when they make two steps forward and 10 steps back, like, I guess what we're saying is, when you wrote that letter, and you wrote that letter when you were done with them, right? You were already onto another job. When you wrote that letter, did you think it was going to like really make an impact and make a change? Or did you want to just let everybody, it's kind of dog whistle and let everybody know?
I 100% was a dog whistle situation. Nice. I knew that I couldn't stand being there and seeing these people, especially black men and black women in these spaces, and not feel like they're being heard, because I wasn't heard while I was there. So I don't want cast members to ever feel like that. While I had no idea it was going to go viral or any of that stuff and all these news people were going to pick up, I was like, let me just put it out there so like at least my colleagues see it, because I work with a lot of people in the industry. I work a lot of people, you know, that are on these production teams. And then at that point, everyone was kind of coming forward and talking about their experiences of being a person of color or a black person in these very white spaces, that I need to tell my side of the story for this. So when I came out and I told everyone, you know, how I felt, and I really just wanted them to start bringing more people of color into these spaces behind the scenes production and in casting, because there's no one that can tell the story better unless it's someone that's actually experienced it. And a white person cannot tell a black person's story in the correct lens that we want it to be told. And while that might be a statement, be like, I can do it. You know, no, I can't even tell a white woman's story. You know, I can do my best to produce it, but they're going to have a different lens than what I would ever see. And I think it's very important when we have reality TV that these stories that are being told, and especially now that we're bringing a lot more diversity in, we need to be knowledgeable about it. And the only way to be knowledgeable about it is to have people that are on that team that have lived that experience and then can comment on it in a proper way.
Yeah, I think that's what was so obvious about Matt James's season. We were like, nobody black is anywhere and nobody's even friends with anybody black. Like, this is really bad.
That's exactly what it was giving.
It's really, and it just seems like after you wrote that letter and even after Matt James's terrible season, it just seems like they're returning back to these rules that are hundreds and hundreds of years old. And so when you dog whistle at your old workplace, I think what you said is so correct. You can't expect them to change because they're working with a system that's so old. Like, racism is ancient. It's really hard to deplatform.
Yeah, you know, we can go and have all of these seminars and talk about biases and microaggression and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's all deep rooted in some of these people's systems that like something that they might think is okay or something that they've said their entire life and them just finding out at the age of 50 or 55 that it's not something that they're going to say, like you can't say anymore, they're not going to change. They're not going to change. I know people that are older that have been working in this industry for 30, 40 plus years, and they'll say something in a room full of white people that you would not be happy with if you heard. You know, that's the end of the day. Like, you know, it's not, it's, we have a lot of work to do. And the work that we can do is to at least try to start bringing people like us in these spaces.
Do you think with the advancement of people like Issa Rae and Quinta Brunson, do you think that that's really opening the doors for a lot of these people in media? Because they are the head, right?
Yeah. I mean, thank goodness, honestly.
I know.
they're doing the thing. And I love that Issa is like, I'm rooting for everyone black because someone needs to. I really, really love what they're doing with the space. And I love, you know, seeing more stories being brought to light that normally wouldn't, but there's still a little bit of a resistance for sure. I still see that, you know, the people that are the execs are still very much white and they don't understand, you know, how to make of this story. And, you know, I did an interview one day and someone mentioned Platts and they were like, what is that? You know? So it's like, Like your hair. I'm like, dang.
Oh my God.
I have to sit here and like, you know, explain things. I'm here to educate, but I also want these people to actually respond and understand and learn, because it's one thing of going in one ear and out the other. But if you're actually going to take it in and understand and be willing to work with me and learn, I'm happy to do that.
I have one more question before we move on, Natasha.
Yes. And
I think it's important to note this. And I think it's something we were really excited about. Do you think somebody like AD coming on and being the star of the biggest international dating show in the world, do you think that's going to make an impact on dark-skinned women being cast in the future who are in their 30s?
I hope so.
I hope
so,
too.
I really do.
Yeah.
We can only, you know, hope. Black, you know, dark-skinned women, they're still, I feel like, such a stigma to even get them on TV, which always frustrates me as someone that has dark skin. But, you know, there's still that, you know, white, you know, idealistic, like pretty girl, pageant girl look that still runs deep through.
Right. Yeah. There's still Jessica
and
who.
There's still a Jessica.
I have no idea why we're even paying attention to her. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But, you know, I really do hope that this is kind of the catalyst that they go, oh, wow, we can have more of these ADs on this show.
Yeah.
You know, because why not?
Why not? Yeah.
And she's popular and she's, you know, has almost 1 million followers on Instagram now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. How far are we from a woman in a hijab on The Bachelor? That's always our like marker. How far do you think we are, Jazzy?
Ooh, I mean, I would live for it. I don't, honestly, I would see the show getting canceled before that.
Ooh. Damn, it's going to be off the air before we get to it.
God, Jazzy, no.
I really would love to see it. I really would love to see it. And I think everyone would love to see it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they stick to their formula and they're definitely falling back into their formula. You can kind of see it like slowly creeping in. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm seeing that a lot with just casting overall is that like, oh, we were woke for a couple of years. Let's see if we mm-hmm. can go back to status quo. But, you know, I'm going to continue to push against it. I always do. Every show that I work on, I am constantly pitching the most diverse group of people that you possibly can. Because also, you know, diversity is a bigger thing, you know, having mm-hmm. a deaf mm-hmm. contestant on the circle, you know, having disabilities and stuff like that. We want everyone to be able to see themselves on TV. Mm-hmm. And I am keeping that as my responsibility to make sure that we have that option to do that and see that.
Mm-hmm. What? So after this entire conversation where we were doing a lot of trashing, and somebody's listening to this and they still want to go on reality TV, what would you recommend they do before they go? Is there like a required reading list? Is there something they should keep in their bag when they're there? What do you recommend people do before they get cast on a reality dating competition specifically?
Oh, dating show?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these dating shows are kind of long and I don't want you to lose your job over it. So like, make sure you build up your PTO or whatever it is before you go on TV. It's not worth losing a job over, especially if you don't know what's going to happen afterwards when it all airs. Number one, do that. But also just like, you know, go in it with no expectations and have fun with it because it's a lot of fun. Reality TV can be great, like, especially if you're doing something that might not be dating. It's a mm-hmm. lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to consume. It's a lot of fun to, like, experience. And a lot of cast members that I talk to after they're done with the show, they say, I had such a blast. What an experience. Thank you so much. Oh, and nice. I think it's those people because they went in with no expectations and just kind of gave it their all and had fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's people. I think that advice is just like so perfect. It's just a fun life experience treated as such. I think it gets a little hairy now because being a reality TV star is also like an occupation now. It's a career. So people take it real seriously. But I think the best approach is as simple as you stated, is like just go in low expectations, have fun. If it turns into something else, become a huge star, become the villain, sure, that might come with it. But just kind of go in and have a life experience.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Will we ever see another Black Bachelor after the travesty?
I love these bachelor questions. Like, I'm still working on the show.
Just want to get your viewpoint as someone on the inside. You know, we've all kind of seen on the outside the progress or lack thereof, or however you want to call it, that we've seen over the years. But with the trajectory that we're going towards, could you, and after knowing Matt James's season and what the hell that was, like, do you ever see them wanting to try again with another Black Bachelor?
They might try again. I think they will. I don't know when, but I think they might have the ability to try. I think if they try it with maybe a celebrity,
if they go back to that,
maybe, yeah.
Maybe we'll go over better rather than someone that was cast on a previous season.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they've really locked themselves into has to be somebody from the previous, so it's so hard. And Asian Bachelor, that's another one we really want to see. I feel like we've come across so many that could have by now, and they just keep getting passed over.
So, I know. I would love that too. But mm-hmm. also kind of a situation where I'm like, maybe they'll do a celebrity. I mean, everyone's kind of going to the celebrity format now, is like bringing in familiar faces from previous shows, and it's working. So I wouldn't be surprised if Bachelor was like, let's try to switch things up. And it would be fun, I think, for the girls or the guys involved to be like, oh, I get to date a celebrity for a couple months.
Right. Nice.
Okay. Well, we have a few listener questions. Okay. And one of them is going back to Rachel's season. Mm-hmm. Will, who was a black man who had never dated a black woman. And we read Rachel's book, and she said that she thought production would think that this would be a good storyline. Is that why you think that casting casted Will as one of her suitors?
I think a lot of it was trying to, hate to say it, hit a quota and make sure that we hit have enough people of color on her show, on her season. So I think Will was someone that kind of slipped through the cracks of like, yeah, I'm open to dating anyone, because that's what they say to us. Then they, you know, you peel back those layers and I go, oh yeah, I never dated a black woman before.
Oh my God.
And then I go, oh, this is a storyline. Let's talk about it. Yeah. And, you know, once again, that's like, they just don't have anyone in the room that is black that can say, oh, no, hold on.
Let's not.
This is not really a storyline.
Yeah. Right. It's not entertaining.
Not exploit this.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh my God. How does it feel to cast really amazing people who you have like had all these conversations with and you have a relationship with get eliminated early? Do you feel sad when you watch them get eliminated early? Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, I do. For example, gosh, you probably don't even remember him. Bam, who was on The Traitors, was someone that got eliminated pretty early. And I love this guy. He is someone that has been in my like wheelhouse of like someone that I've been wanting to put on a show for a while. And he like kind of portrays himself as like the Wolf of Wall Street, like very much like, I am sneaky. I can talk to anyone. And I feel like we didn't have that opportunity to really see him. We just saw him buried alive and then he was gone. So it was like, you know, those are the types of people that are like, dang, like if you just gave him like maybe two or three more episodes, I think he would have had more of like an impact. Yeah, I get sad when I see them get eliminated.
Yeah. Aww. What made them do no civilians on Traitors season 2 and all celebrities?
Girl, I don't know.
That's a different department. That's a different office.
Yeah. Okay. I love that you're just, you don't know. It's just the powers of B. They said so. That's
just
what
said
happened.
It. And we were not invited back to cast because there was no civilian.
Oh, man.
So.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. And last question. What percentage of people are scouted like on social media, and what percentage of people and out in the wild, whatever, and what percentage of people apply to the show organically who make it onto the show?
Oh, that's a good question. It depends on the show, but most of, I would say we reach out through social media. I would say 60 to 70%. Those are the types of people that end up on shows. Percentage are the ones that apply.
That's a lot. Yeah. So it's mostly recruitment now.
It's mostly recruitment, you know. There's a lot of people that, you know, apply, and they have the same thing. They need to give us something new. They need to give us something fresh. And we also want to make sure that we cast a wide net, like I've said before. Like, we really want to get all different types of people. So that's why it's really important for us to recruit and find these people rather than just relying on people that apply for a show.
Are casting calls still a thing?
Yeah, they're coming back.
Yeah.
They're coming back. Sure. Yeah, really? I just saw Big Brother is doing it again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's coming back. And those, like, those still do really well. Like, there's still quite a few people that get cast from those casting calls.
From the casting call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it'd be like The Bachelor's casting in New York, and You would see people, yes. Like, you'd see the pictures, like, lined on up, or pressed yeah. later, and girls around the corner, and guys around the, yeah, it's so interesting.
Yep, I did it. I was in Scottsdale, you know, doing the casting
Scottsdale.
I'm pretty sure, oh gosh, what was her name? She was another pageant girl that mm-hmm. ended up, she was at a casting call, but I can't, what's that? Starts with a C.
Which season?
Kaylin?
Kaylin. There we Kaylin go. Took me a while. I'm pretty Colton sure season. She was someone that we found at a casting call.
Wow. Yeah. That changed her whole life.
Yeah, she is. She's out here.
I'm pretty sure because I remember seeing a couple of pageant girls, and I think mm-hmm. it was her and Hannah. I think they were both people mm-hmm. that were at a casting call.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was a pageant moment.
Pageant heavy season. Yeah. Cassie too. Cassie was a pageant girl too, I think.
Cassie was a pageant. Yeah. And then yeah. Cassie, okay. Cassie actually applied multiple times for.
What?
The show.
Mm-hmm. Damn. And ended up with Colton. Ew. Damn. Cassie. Oh, man.
And she so obviously did not want to be there, or so obviously seemed to have other.
Yeah, other motives. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She seems so obvious in that for me.
Oh, yes. Wow.
That is hilarious. Well, thank you so much, Jazzy, for joining us, letting us pick your brain from top to bottom, all the way back to Rachel's season, companies you don't even work for anymore. We so appreciate you. Thanks for coming. This was fun.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you? Is there anything exciting you're casting for currently? I know you post stuff on your social. Anything you want to share?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Jazzy Casting. That is all things casting there. So anytime I'm doing a show, I will post about it. I'm working on right now a show. It's about to wrap, but it's a Hulu competition show. So if you like things that are very much like The Traitors and things of that nature, that's kind of your show, but you have to apply real quick. It's the application and all that stuff is on my social media because we wrap casting in a couple weeks. Okay. And I do have some other things that are on the horizon, some dating shows. I'm moving over and working with Dropout right now, which I'm very excited, which was formerly College Humor. Plenty of things up my sleeve. It's very exciting.
Yeah. Oh, very exciting. Shoot your shot, people. Might find love, might win some money, might just get to be famous on TV. Who knows?
Yeah.
Everybody, rate, review, subscribe. Find us on all the things. Tags in your story, shares with the world. And we'll be back next week.
Bye guys.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.